This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
That's right, Rams Weekly. You want a deep dive into all things Colorado State Rams football. Who better to do it with than this guy right here, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins Colorado, and also Chris Abshire. Great story, great write-up in the Coloradoan last night. Kevin, my man, I am pumped for this. Our first show is later today at 5 o'clock, and we talk a lot of Rams, but this is a program where we can really dive in and get into some game previews, looks around the Mountain West. It's a lot of fun. I love doing this thing.
Yeah, I know, speaking from our side of things, we're super excited to be back. And, yeah, it's just a lot of fun to sit there, have a real long, in-depth chat about the Rams, and hopefully fans enjoy it. I know, man, people are getting excited now that the season's finally here. They're good vibes right now.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, this is a big thing we've been talking about ever since Jay Norvell was hired. We've gone from, you know, wondering if this Rams program is just in the mud and when is it going to get out, and then suddenly Jay Norvell's here and has this amazing sense of excitement and promotion and everything surrounding this program that we've witnessed over the last 4, 5, 6 months, and we're pretty close, man. We're getting close to see what this team's all about, and I don't know, again, that the Michigan game will tell us exactly what this team is all about, but at least we're going to see the Rams in action.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Michigan game, in a lot of ways, is like a crazy exhibition-type thing. I mean, obviously, CSU hopes to be in the game and have a chance to go beat Michigan, but realistically and practically, the season kind of starts after that because, you know, you're playing a top 10, you know, a playoff team on the road. That's not a game most people expect a rebuilding team to win, but it is going to be fun to see it in action. And man, you know, what a way to test it out. And it's one of those that positives that, you know, you'll see from that game, I think will still get fans really excited, even if the score ends up slightly lopsided. You know, if Clay Millen goes out and has a solid day against Michigan, the hype will just continue to go.
Yeah. I mean, so what are, like, and I know we'll break into this more and more, but Michigan is, so you know, playoff team last year, top 10 projection this year, maybe even better. That's not just a good football team. That's just not just a Power 5 conference football team. That could be one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's quite a test. You know, it's the biggest football stadium in the country, third biggest stadium in the world. You know, so it's the biggest crowd CSU football will have ever played in front of and will ever play in front of. So it's a great test and a great challenge, obviously. But that, you know, I've said I don't think this is maybe the ideal way to start for the Norvell era. But in a way, it's not bad at all because, like I say, I think people understand the challenge that they face. So it's sort of there's nothing to lose, that type of thing going in.
It does kind of feel like that, doesn't it? I don't, you know, yeah, you're going to see some Rams fans being a little facetious about it or whatever, like, hey, we're going to go into the big house and we're going to win that game. But you're right, it does feel like this game, first and foremost, the Rams go into it, hey, we're playing with house money, brand new coaching staff, a bunch of new players, extremely new philosophy, and we're going up against one of the best teams in the country. So the expectations are going to be set pretty low, even though we've been dying to see CSU football for so long.
Yeah, it's almost like a soft opening, if you will, for the Norvell era. You know, you kind of work out some kinks. You know, not everything may go perfect, but it'll still kind of get some excitement going. I think that's kind of a way a lot of fans are viewing it right now. Next Saturday is kind of just a party. It's, you know, obviously folks going to Michigan, it's going to be a really fun experience. And folks here, it'll just be exciting to see a team that, you know, I think people are excited to root for, which, you know, frankly, has not been the case for a while. Even last year, even the people that were optimistic or hopeful about CSU, I don't think anyone, you know, really loved the idea of going all in on a Steve Addazio team. It just wasn't likable. No fault of the players, but that's just the truth. That's the way it was.
Kevin, I was talking about this on the show maybe yesterday, maybe a couple of days ago, but, you know, it's so important. I'm looking around at all these college football teams that we follow throughout the state, and other than a few, you know, I know Craig, if you want to go into Wyoming, Craig Bohl's been there for, what, 9 years? Troy Calhoun's been there for a while now. But, like, when you look at the Buffs, you look here in the at the Bears, Colorado State, there hasn't been a consistency at the head coaching spot for a while. And I was wondering, is that maybe why, before that Nevada game, if we were wondering or worrying about Joe Parker not moving on from Addazio, was because athletic directors and programs are so desperate to say, hey, we got to give it time to take hold. We don't want to be churning out new coaches every 2 to 3 years. And then obviously that Nevada game kind of sealed Addazio's fate, it seemed like anyway. But you can kind of see why Parker wanted to hang on, or if he did halfway through the season, really thinking, no, we're going to try to give this guy an honest shot.
Yeah, Joe Parker very forcefully said publicly, and he basically said, any fans that are thinking of a coaching change, you know, are out of their minds. We absolutely are not. We need cohesion. And in a way, I understand the general idea of where he is coming from of, yeah, coaching change after 2 years generally is not good. Now, I think they had to realize that, you know, that was a, you know, a ship that was sinking fast. You had to get off rather than try and keep it floating. But generally, the cohesion can be good, but it has to be the right person. I mean, you don't want, you know, 6-7 years of mediocrity just for the sake of cohesion. And that's where it is tricky, and that's where decision, you know, tough decisions are made. But, you know, CSU obviously will hope that they can get a little bit of that here. You know, I already have people saying, well, Norvell's not going to be around long. I say, well, worry about that when CSU wins. CSU hasn't won in so long that if there's a chance that their head coach is getting poached because the team is too good, that's a great problem. Let's worry about that one as opposed to the opposite side of, you know, we need to get rid of this coach because we're so bad.
Yeah, it's funny, too. We do tend to do that. Before Jay Norvell's even started coaching this team, at least in a real game, there's in the back of your brain going, hey, if this guy is as good as advertised, you know, what he did with Nevada, imagine what he does with the resources CSU can give him. Oh, my goodness. Look, we did the same thing with Bobo. I mean, some people did that at least. Like, when he went 7-6, I think 3 in a row, you're at the first year or two, you're wondering, man, are we going to be able to hang on to Bobo? And we do kind of tend to freak out a little bit there, but you're right. If Jay Norvell is as good as advertised, he's just going to continue creating this bright beacon that does put the spotlight, shine the spotlight on Colorado State, which would also improve their chances of going to a Power Five.
Yep. I mean, that's what they need. They need that attention. CSU, you know, nationally is basically irrelevant. The only way they've made national waves in the last 2 years was through all the bad things, you know, all the off-field issues, the, you know, all the special teams disasters, the, you know, the field goal against Utah State, the ejection against Nevada. Those are the only ways CSU has got national attention over the last 2 years. So you need to flip that and have it be, you know, for big plays, you know, big wins, things like that. You know, Trey McBride obviously was the one exception. Obviously he got, you know, plenty of national pub, and rightfully so, but that was the only positive. Everything else has been negative. So you need to flip that. And I think Jay Norvell and what they're doing here at CSU is the right group, you know, right offense, right, all these things to do that. And now we're just finally at the season where, you know, we can actually see it in action, like you say, rather than just practices and everything. You know, we see it being put in place, but, you know, the fans haven't had that much opportunity, and you know, you play to win the game, so now we finally have the games.
Talking about Clay Millen, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about with Colorado State, no question. Kind of a new-look defense, we'll get into that. These wide receivers, you know, Tanner Arkin, a local guy, tight end, living up to a pretty darn good tight end that is now in the NFL. But I always just go back to this. It's for air raid. It's, you know, you have these coaches that are all about this offensive philosophy. This is a big, big thing for Clay Millen. Your gauge as far as talking to players and coaches, what is the sentiment around Clay? I mean, obviously excited. He's a young guy. But is there confidence? Are you hearing confidence from the rest of his teammates, and including guys that have been there for a while?
Yeah, and you're right. You have to start there. The story hasn't published yet, but I just finished, you know, look at the players who need to be good if CSU is going to have a successful season. And first was Clay Millen, and put simply, I just said he's the quarterback of the air raid. Has to be good. you know, that's all you need to say. But yeah, I'm working on a Clay Millen feature for next week, so I've been talking to a lot of folks, and yeah, everyone says very mature, very focused. You know, kind of a little anecdote that I got was Jacob Gardner, the center, said that Clay Millen has come into the O-line room to watch film with the O-linemen because he wants to, you know, take ownership of making sure the protections are good and things like that, which is, you know, I asked Jacob, you know, have you had other quarterbacks do that? He says it is pretty rare to have a quarterback come voluntarily watch film with the O-line. So things like that, and that's exactly what Jacob said. He goes, that, you know, that gives me great confidence of, you know, yeah, there are going to be growing pains, of course, but a guy that is that inquisitive and that hardworking, he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, and you love to hear that, too, especially with a young player, you know, getting a chance to talk to him more with his first Clay Millen show on Monday. I mean, I love it because he says all the right things. I mean, you hear confidence in himself, but you also hear, hey, I'm new here. I'm working my way in. I'm trying to establish myself. So there's guys that have been here for a while now, and I'm not trying to take over and say this is my team 100%. You want to hear that from a young quarterback saying, hey, there's guys that have been here laying the foundation, and I recognize these players, even though last year didn't go well, the year before that, there's players on this team that have a lot of talent, a lot of leadership. So I'm willing to step aside and kind of stop and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, and it seems like he's probably more of a quiet leadership type, you know, maybe not the most outgoing kid, is, you know, somewhat reserved. And yeah, like you said, I think some of that is just being a, you know, a redshirt freshman that's still fairly new in the program. You know, he's not going to come in acting like, you know, he owns the place or anything like that. And that's good. I mean, that, you know, you have to be, quarterback is a position where your teammates have to like and respect you. You can't be, you know, this arrogant jerk that everyone hates because it just doesn't work. That's a position where people have to respect you. And it seems like Clay has that. When you talk to people, it seems like he's a liked and respected guy. And actually, you know, it's funny, it's four freshmen in the QB room. And we were talking to Matt Mummy the other day, and he said, yeah, you know, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi and Jackson Stratton, the two guys that came in the class last year, you know, obviously they're competing for the job and they're the same age. But he said, well, guys, who do you hang out with outside football? They go, Clay. So even though they're all, you know, fighting for one spot, you know, they seem to be friends. And I think that speaks well to, you know, who Clay is. You know, if he were that arrogant jerk, the guys who were trying to unseat him sure as heck wouldn't be hanging out with him outside of football.
No question about it, man. There's no doubt, and he seems like a really bright kid. We'll see what the future holds for him, the immediate future holds for him. Kevin, I know you and Chris will be here later this afternoon, excited for our first edition of Rams Weekly, talking all things CSU, Mountain West. We have some Mountain West games that I'm very curious to get your thoughts on. That team up north in Wyoming plays this weekend. So I know we're going to break into all of that. I cannot wait, man. We love our connection with you. I love our connection with the Colorado one. And I'm looking forward to a fun season of broadcast.
Yeah, likewise. We're really excited to get going.
All right, my man. There he is, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. He's our Rams insider. He's been that way for quite some time. 11:49 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our number one. We're going to talk to none other than head volleyball coach Lindsey Oates of the UNC Bears. They had an exhibition game over the weekend, won that. They're picked to finish top in the Big Sky yet again. They were in the national tournament for the sixth time last year. The accolades go on and on and on for this volleyball team. Can we expect the same thing this year? And is there a sense of pressure? Because we all expect this volleyball team to be good every single year now, which you cannot say that a lot about teams that we cover on a daily basis. And that's just the truth of it. So this is one of the good ones. So we'll be excited to talk to Lindsey coming up next, or in the second hour, I should say. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.